The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
All righty, starting the second hour of the National Intel Report on January 25th. I see nobody's obeying my request, so anybody that's on the calls, we're going to dump you. No, don't worry about it. I guess they're really anxious to talk to you, buddy.
You're a cruel taskmaster, Mr. Fine.
I just want to tease them. But they're really anxious to talk to you. So, all right, let's get through this and start taking calls.
All right, now I'm going to get into something real important, as if that wasn't on the right side of the equation, and we'll take some calls here. But this is really important, is that elusive word that you never hear any of our people talk about, remedies. Okay. Have you heard, let's see if you've heard this before, Tom. I'm a ship sailing on the land. We're under admiralty law. Have you heard that?
Yeah, and all those things in the middle of the road are islands, and you back your truck up to a dock.
My mama's water broke, and I was BERTH'd with a certificate and all that kind of stuff, don't you know? No, it ain't right. Okay? And the way you're going to identify it is by learning this formula. Do you know what the only remedy in admiralty law is?
Go in front of a captain's mast.
It's called prize. I kick your butt and I take your stuff. There's not much of a procedure there. Okay. I kick your butt, I take your stuff. The remedy in admiralty law is called prize. Now, I see them taking a bunch of people's stuff, but they have a definite procedure they're using. It's called self-help remedies. You may not know what those are unless I identify them for you. But if I said lien, levy, garnishment, and seizure, you go, oh, yeah, I heard of those. Well, that's not prize. That's lien, levy, garnishment, and seizure. It ain't admiralty law. And if you've bought into that, try and get that stuff out of your mind as quick as you can. Because it's doing you no good. Because it's wrong.
That goes along with the gold fringe flag.
All of that stuff, get all of that CRAP out of your mind, okay, honestly. You want to know the nexus and how to get out of it. The nexus is assigning you a political status at birth, bringing in the feudal system. You agree to it when they ask you those two questions, and you're in voluntary servitude. The good news is, because you volunteered in and it's voluntary servitude, you can volunteer out, take away your consent, and there's nothing they can do except take the mask off. That's the good news. Okay. Now, let's go to the other one, maritime law. Oh, there was a maritime law. I've got a list that John and them put together on all the different bodies of law in the world. The common law and the King's Bench in England, and equity and maritime and admiralty and ecclesiastical and the law merchant and the manorial law. That's most of them, maybe left out one. But all of those things, if I was to take you to jolly old England, and you were very knowledgeable, Tom, and I could get you in a square there and blindfold you and spin you around, get you real dizzy where you were disoriented, and I could take you into one of those buildings, let's say the King's Bench, which is the highest court of common law in England, and you'd still be blindfolded, but you're very knowledgeable. And when we got in there, you'd know by what they called the presiding officer, the terms that were used on the actions that were being taken, and the remedies that were talked about, you'd know that you were in the king's bench in the common law. Because those things are indigenous to that body of law. And if you went down to equity, they'd call the guy in the head the chancellor, not a judge. And they'd have different names for all the actions. And the remedies would be totally different. So in all of these different bodies of law, those things aren't the same. They're different. Now, see, when we founded our country and came over here, they didn't have the money or the resources to set up seven different bodies of law and courts. So they kind of lumped them all into one, all right? And so if you go in there and start looking at those things, you can tell real easily what system of law is being used. Maritime law, guess what the only action is in maritime law? It's called a bill of lading. No, bill of libel, excuse me, bill of libel. You see any bills of libel floating around our courts? I hadn't. So it can't be maritime law because the only action in maritime law is a bill of libel. So now let's go over to the remedies. The remedies that are being used are the ones I just told you. They're called self-help remedies. And we can go into that a little if you want to. We don't have to do it tonight. We can do it tomorrow night. But it's very instructive here because these things are really important to understand. Because they're the first harbingers of tyranny, is what I've come to understand. These self-help remedies are what changed the Roman law from the God-given rights of the first 200 years, the jus civil, it was called, to the jus gentium, the law of the foreigner. And the reason that changed was because of these self-help remedies. Okay. So if we go over to the remedy side and we look at lien, levy, garnishment, and seizure, self-help remedies, there's only two bodies of law in the whole history of the planet where those have been used. One of them is the law merchant, which is the Babylonian merchant call code for thousands of years, called still today, called the law merchant. In our country, we call it the Uniform Commercial Code. Okay, same thing. And the only other body of law where those remedies were used was the manorial law that was used on the manor in the feudal system.
Yeah, I have a friend who filed a King's Bench suit with the U.S. Supreme Court over some mortgage issues. Yeah.
Let me explain real quick what these self-help remedies are, because this is really important, okay? The reason they are so powerful is because the remedy is built into the contract. And the example I like to use, I don't think this is one of those, but it's got this attribute, and everybody can relate to it. When you go buy a car or a truck and you do a finance statement, it's got what's called in the contract called a recognizance. These are called specialty contracts in the UCC, okay? And those are... A specialty contract has to have two things. It has to have a recognizance, which I'm going to explain to you in a second, and it's got to have a jurat. It's got to be signed under penalty of perjury. So if you want to know what these specialty contracts are, in England they were called statute staples. They're technically an instrument called a Jewish shetar. That was the basis of the famous star chambers in England, where the Jews were the tax collectors for the king and would enforce it. And what it has to have is these two things, a recognizance and signed under penalty of perjury. If you can write out a 1040 form and send it to the IRS for $1 billion, and if you don't sign it, they'll send it back to you. Got to be signed under penalty of perjury. Those are the two requirements. What's this recognizance thing? It says in the contract that you recognize another body of law. So when you buy a car, the recognizance will be, well, there in the Texas state statutes, it says if you don't pay your car payment by 60 days, we can come seize the car. We don't have to go to court. We don't have to get on a docket. We don't have to go in front of a jury. We don't have to get a judgment. We don't have to record it, because by then, Tom, well, hell, you may be in Tierra del Fuego. But we can't.
Yeah,
miss
that's like
one
some
day,
of the non-judicial states on the mortgage
well,
issues.
This is total non-judicial everywhere. It's everywhere in the world. Okay, this is part of the Uniform Commercial Code. And it was this remedy, like I said, that influenced the Romans so much that they put pressure on the praetor, who was the Attorney General of Rome. And over 200 years of the color of law that a Roman citizen was a foreign merchant, the praetor changed the Roman law to the Roman civil law, incorporating the law merchant and these remedies in there. And that's what we're dealing with today in the United States Code, the Roman civil law. It's the code that runs the world, the code of Napoleon, the code of Bismarck, all those things, code of Justinian. They're all the same, okay, basically. So these self-help remedies are real convenient and useful for our enemies because they can intimidate the hell out of you. All of a sudden, they start coming grabbing your stuff. You didn't get any kind of process. You hadn't been in any kind of court. All you know is these guys that seem to have all this power are coming and grabbing your car or seizing your house or garnishing your wages or cleaning your bank account out. And you go, holy smokes, these guys are powerful. They're using self-help remedies. They're the harbingers of tyranny. Okay? Very, very important. The only two bodies of law that are ever used in the history of the world, law merchant, manorial law. You want to know what law we're under? Well, it ain't admiralty, and it ain't maritime. You're under the Uniform Commercial Code, and you're in the feudal system. That makes sense?
Yep. So if once you've changed your status, and you may not know the answer, but I have a feeling you probably do. So if someone, let's say someone had a gripe with someone and they needed to go to court to resolve it, what court would have the appropriate jurisdiction?
State court.
Okay.
You can probably go into federal court and bring an action, but they can't charge you and bring you in because you're not a citizen of the United States and a resident, and there is no more federal common law, according to a 1948 case called Erie Railroad versus Tompkins.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Happened in Pennsylvania, actually.
Yeah. The what about now?
Hold your clip in there on me. Yeah, hello.
At the beginning, you know, people scream. How about now? Any better?
A little bit better.
Better,
yeah, start again.
Yeah, we lost you for the last 10 seconds.
Yeah, rewind for a minute.
Yeah, okay, so if we have to go to state court. Well, now you were saying, like, people were screaming about having their constitutional rights violated, but when you change your status, actually, the Constitution applies to the federal government and the states.
That's their
rules, not ours.
What rights does that document give you? Can you enumerate the rights given to anybody by the Constitution for me?
Absolutely none.
No, it gives you some.
What I'm concerned with is that the Constitution is basically you're talking about the Bill of Rights, not the Constitution itself.
No. I'm talking about the whole document. What rights does the entire document give you? Only one. Civil rights under the 14th Amendment. All the others are protections.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I was trying to more go towards the fact that the Constitution is basically a written rule book that the government has to follow.
That's right.
They
don't have to follow it if you're a serf and you volunteered into it. You got civil rights. You don't have God-given rights. You don't really have access to those protections. Until you file an affidavit and get back over and have access to the common law, because the Constitution is a common law document. So,
okay.
Anyway,
just to wrap my head around some more about that.
Well, of course, we'll go back to the Declaration of Independence. We're given our capital R rights with our capital D duties from the capital C creator, and we're capital C citizens. Well, now your civil rights are small c, small r, small citizen of the United States C, and those two things are mutually exclusive. You can't have civil rights and God-given rights both. You get civil rights from the government. They're giving it to you because they created this status, and you've agreed to it. And remember, you don't get political rights with that. under the great heading of rights, there's two subheadings: civil rights, the rights of you dealing with everybody else in the society, and political rights, where you get to run for office and vote and stuff. But you don't get the civil rights or political rights with the 14th Amendment. You only get the civil rights. That's why they say voting is a franchise, because they've got to give it to you to let you think that you're participating when you're really just playing political theater.
Yeah, property. You're only property.
I mean, James Traficant got up in front of the House and said, "Ladies and gentlemen of the House, we're nothing but trustees presiding over the greatest history, bankruptcy in the history of the world." When those people make laws, what do? They turn them over to the administrative agencies, and they promulgate regulations, sometimes 180 degrees from the original intent of the original legislation. So how the hell are they making laws for you? They're not. It's all a game. It's all political theater.
All righty. Well,
okay. Let's take some calls. I can get all, as you know, I can talk about this for hours, okay?
I know you can. And then that's good, because the more you talk about it, the better. So, all right. We lost our first caller. He can call back. We have Mark from Oklahoma. Go ahead, Mark.
Mark, did we hear from you last week?
Yes, we did.
Well, it was 2 weeks ago, Roger.
Oh, okay. Hey, Mark. Good to hear from you again.
Hey, I got a question for you. I've been listening to the Eurofolk radio.
Yeah.
You know, but for whatever reason, I can't find the call-in number.
Okay, well, did you request the documents from me? I think they've got them uploaded here. Let me just give you a quick synopsis.
No, I didn't request the documents.
Well, all that information's on the back of those. Escape the Matrix and How to File a National Affidavit. But let me give you and the rest of the audience this real quick. If you want to make the best connection, that's digitally, like we're doing here. Okay. If you use the phone in and a PIN number, there's about 20 numbers. I don't like giving that stuff out on the air. You can find it on, one of the websites, but it doesn't always give you the best connection. Okay. And sometimes people can't get in on it. I don't know the reason for that. But the best way to do it.
Lots of times I'll go through and it will. I mean, the number sequence you sent out is great, but it will attach me to it's kind of like a call in or an opening. And
let's bypass all that.
It says, you've been included in the conference and nothing.
And then sometimes people can't talk either, and I don't know the reasons for Jitsi's problem there. But here's the easy way to do it. You got two different ways to do it. You might grab a piece of paper or something in the second one here. The easiest probably is to go to your Play Store and download an app called Jitsi Meet. J-I-T-S-I is the way that's spelled. J-I-T-S-I, second word, Meet, M-E-E-T. And when you get that downloaded, you want to put in the search PPN Studio. No spaces. PPN Studio.
Studio. Okay.
All right. And hit enter, and you would join us. Okay. And then that saves that. Next time you want to join us, you open up Jitsi Meet, hit PPN Studio, you're right there. Okay. Now, the other way that you could do it accomplishes the same thing is to open a browser tab if you'd rather do it, say, from a computer. And you want to type this in, meet, M-E-E-T, dot J-I-T, dot S-I, /, PPN Studio. I'll repeat that. Meet, M-E-E-T, dot J-I-T, dot S-I, /, PPN Studio. Hit enter. You'll join us right there on the forum, okay?
Okay.
And we'd love to have you. What do you think of the show? Yeah, well, good. Tell me what you think of the show.
I like the hell out of it, you know?
Good.
I think that, the whole Eurofolk deal is, we're pretty soon going to be on the reservation. You know, we don't get organized, right?
Well, with the Supreme Court ruling last year, you're almost already on the reservation in Oklahoma, aren't you?
Well, I'm on the west side, so it's all right.
Okay, all right. Okay.
All right.
So do you have anything else?
Roger, I tell you what, I really appreciate this. I mean, this is a godsend because I'm trying to figure out how to make this all work together. And you seem to know the way.
Well, I've been very blessed. And quite frankly, I don't know why I was tapped for this. But it's pretty obvious I was. I understood the importance of it. And I tried to pass it off to other people for years, and I couldn't even get anybody else to understand it. And at one point, I went, well, okay, I guess it's me, you know. And here we are. Right.
Well, it's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it.
Well, it's finally starting to pay off in the respect that people are wanting to listen, you know, and that gives me a great deal of feedback. And all of you wonderful students and listeners that send me such kind emails and say such nice things.
Right. Well, and I tell you this, Roger, I'm a 59-year-old man. I ain't going to be around too much longer, but I got kids, and they are exceptional kids, and I need to get them over on this idea, you know?
Yeah.
I look at the amount of taxes they would pay in their lifetime to the freaking Jews, you know?
That's
significant.
Yep. And we can yank them right out of there, and they can't do a damn thing about it again except take the mask off.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, boys. Take the mask off, and let's have us a necktie party.
So, well, I will get off and let the other callers
okay, Mark.
I look forward to trying to get on tomorrow with you.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, I'll see you on the show, okay?
All right.
We got a, as you know from listening, we got a bunch of really good people on there.
Yes. Yeah. From what I'm gathering is like these are my brothers I've been looking for.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Right. See, when you connect with somebody on this level, you connect with somebody on a very, very unique, pure truth level, and you really connect with somebody when you're on this and both have this knowledge and understanding. You relate to each other. Fantastic, okay?
Right.
So we'll look forward to talking with you over there on Eurofolk, Mark.
Okay. Tomorrow. Good day, sir.
Okay. Ciao, ciao. I know we got other people because I'm seeing it there from Mike.
Yeah, we lost, I think Mike had to step away for a minute. We lost Chance. He can call back if he wants. Chance, come on back. Where are you? So now can you go over that jitsu thing again? Because I was trying to follow that.
All right. Well, Jitsi is a communication app. It's a great little app, okay? You can go to jitsi.org and set up your own channel. And you can use it as free phone all over the world. You just say, okay, meet me at the Gypsy deal, whatever your channel name is. And you got video, you can do screen sharing, you can do audio. We had 30, 40 people on at one time, you know. People can ask questions, you got dialogue, all that stuff. So here's the two ways to do that. One, and probably the most convenient for people, is to go to your Play Store and find Gypsy Meet. Two words, J-I-T-S-I, second word, meet, M-E-E-T. Download it. When you get it open, put PPN Studio in the search, and it pops up. And that saves that. So the next time you want to join tomorrow, and you just open Jitsi Meet, and there it is. You hit PPN Studio, and one hit, and bam, you're there. Okay. The other way is if you want to do it through a computer, you open up a browser tab, and type in this address, meet, M-E-E-T, dot J-I-T, dot S-I, /PPN Studio. I'll go over that again. Meet, M-E-E-T, dot J-I-T, dot S-I, /PPN Studio. Hit that, hit enter, boom, you're in. Same thing. Did you get that, Tom?
Yeah, I'm doing it on my phone. I got it. I've got the app open. Oh, I saw somebody just join. Rick just joined. But Is that the actual, that's where everything will take place at PPM Studio? Whole, is that the channel?
Yeah, that's the channel. It's the whole deal. You know, if you were there at, during our show, you'd see a whole bunch of other people on there, too.
Okay, so it's not like Telegram where you got to have, go into a specific channel on Telegram.
No, and you could open up your own Jitsi channel and Tom D. Anytime you want, I'll meet you over at the Tom D channel, and you could have all these people from all over the world there, you know.
Yep, sounds good.
It's right, a good, it's a really pretty cool little app. Our the guy that set up our network is just a wonderful guy. His name is Paul English, and he took a year and a half. He wanted to set up something on a shoestring so we didn't have all the problems that everybody else has getting money and all that stuff. And so he took him a year and a half of going out and finding software and freeware, reading all the manuals, figuring out how to hook all these things up together, and we got virtually no overhead. Okay, we got some limitations because of it, but this is one of the things that came out of it, and he knew about it, and we were having trouble with Skype, and he said, try this Jitsi thing, and it's worked out real well.
Okay, well, we will... I'm going to play with it some more. I'm going to watch it when it looks
active. Yeah, you'll like it. You'll like
it. Now, that's the... Cool. Hold on 1 second. Okay. So we only got a couple more minutes till the break.
Right, yeah, let's get some calls.
Yeah, so we got about 2 more minutes, so there's no sense taking another call yet. The actual time that you have these meetings... you have your shows during the week. Yeah. Is it 10 to 11?
It's 11 to 1. 11 to Eastern, 1 Eastern.
Right?
Right.
Eastern.
Right.
And you can get it on that Jitsu.
You can participate on Jitsu. You can listen to it on Euro Folk Radio. Euro, EURO, Folk, FOLK, radio.com. And the network was set up about 10 years or so ago, or a little less, because of the immigrant invasion into Europe. And the fellow that was instrumental in getting it set up and working with Paul is a pastor from Chicago named Eli James that some of you are familiar with. He used to have a show on RBN years ago. That's how I first met him.
Oh, that's interesting. Funny how all the people you meet here, you hear somebody, you're not particularly listening for anybody in, specifically, and then you hear somebody and then you just start following them around and going to all the different places that they're having their shows. Yeah. And you really, it's just amazing the kind of stuff that you learn.
Well, Eli's very interesting. I used to hear him on Sundays, and then I don't remember what happened. Him and John may have had a urinating match or something. Anyway, he left RBN, and I went on to another network. I call these my ex-wives. I went on to another network called the Micro Effect, some of you may remember, and they were looking for people. And I said, hey, man, this Eli James guy's good. So I got Eli a slot over at the Micro Effect, and here it is down the line now. I'm on his network. So he's a real good guy, Eli is, and he teaches a very good Israelite message.
What happened to the Micro Effect? They went off the air, or they closed down?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did. Well, they're,
I used to listen to them at night. You know, they came and... I'm trying to remember some of the people that I used to listen
Constant,
to. Them.
Constant Combus was on there. Used to have Mark Kornke on in the morning. I was on there. B-Craft had a show there on the weekends. I was trying to think of who else was in there. It's been a few years.
God, I knew B-Craft back from like the 80s, 1982.
Right. No, he's been around a long time. He had big IRS wins back there. His first one was Franklin Sanders and his barter company.
Yep, I know him. And I actually have some old Justice Times newspapers with Larry B-Craft on them and, some of the other major players in the game, and Red Beckman. And,
Red.
George Gordon and, oh, my goodness.
George Gordon. One of the greatest compliments I've ever received is they said George Gordon was teaching my way of citizenship before he died. I was totally flattered.
All right, folks, we're going to take a breather, rest the jaws, go take a bathroom break, get you a drink, and we'll see you back in 3 minutes.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth! You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
All right. righty. Can't go wrong with Sammy Hagar, I guess. All right, let's grab Chance before we lose him again and bring him on. Chance, you're on with Roger.
Hey, Chance.
Yes, hello, Tom. Hello, Roger.
You hey, Chance. Remember, how you doing?
You guys remember that Western movie where Eli Wallach says, badges? We don't need no stinking badges. Remember that?
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, well, I got a hypothetical question for you, Roger. What's to stop a total tyrannical dictator government under a total breakdown of law from rounding up everyone regardless of their citizen status?
Nothing. But this is what happens if they start doing that, Chance. Then mm-hmm. we all know what the rules are and what the game is, don't we?
Well, I got a feeling we're going to see that, gentlemen.
I think you're wrong, okay? Because I know these guys, and I know they appear to be total tyrants, and they want to be total tyrants. And if they get control of a country like they did in Bolshevik Russia, that's going to happen. But you remember Solzhenitsyn's famous saying is, what would have happened if one person would have resisted? See, nobody resisted, okay? And now when you've gotten this and you've taken this step and you've got your God-given rights back and you know what the game is and the rules are, then you're going to resist, aren't you?
Well, I mean, people should be resisting already without even waiting for the hammer to fall.
You know what? I know we're commanded through the Declaration of Independence to do everything possible to redress this peacefully. And that's what I'm trying to advocate here. Okay? But if it gets to the point where they're total tyrants, at least we all know what the rules are and they're fair game.
Well, I agree with you, Roger. Okay. I commend your knowledge. I really do. But I foresee the time. I think the time has passed. I think they're at that point already. They're just waiting for that exact moment to drop the hammer. That's what
Maybe.
I see. And like
Maybe,
what I said, yeah, and like what I said, badges, we don't need no stinking badges. We're going to see that attitude. Now, I hope I'm wrong. You know, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think so. Because
maybe not. If we can get... put it this way. You know, I was listening to over the last couple of days, and Joe Rogan, remember when he interviewed Malone here a couple of weeks ago?
Uh-huh.
You know how many people have watched that?
How many? I'm curious.
Thousands.
40 million.
Whoa,
okay,
my God.
But you know what else I heard, though? I heard that Malone confessed that he took a couple of the jabs. Now, how do you explain that?
Who knows? You know, it ain't my place to explain it. He got up in front of that committee yesterday and was frankly and brutally honest about everything's going on. Some people have a suspicion about him. I think the guy's straight ahead. But whatever, we'll know as we go forward.
Well, we had a caller call in last week, Roger, who I guess he has some biology or vaccine information, but you know that he's a scientist. And he was saying that this guy, he had questioned that guy Malone about the molecular weight of this virus, and the guy couldn't answer him.
I know Rents and that girl that's on with him three times a week suspicious of Malone.
You're talking about Erica Kahn.
Yeah, Erica Kahn. Yeah. Very, very sharp, okay?
I don't know about those things.
This is what I do know. He had an audience of 40 million people that watched one interview. Now, I'm very familiar with broadcasting and broadcast history. Do you know who saved AM radio? Chance?
Refresh my memory. I might.
Rush Limbaugh.
Rush Limbaugh.
Saved AM radio.
What a phony he was, though.
Keep the opinions because I want to make a point here, okay?
Okay.
It isn't about him. It's the fact that in the whole history of AM broadcasting, Rush amassed the biggest audience that's ever been recorded in AM radio history. He had the highest average quarter hour share of anybody in the entire history of AM radio, and he literally saved the medium, okay?
Well, so, he might have saved the media, but it doesn't say much for his gullible listeners, I'll tell you that, because,
Chance, you won't even let me finish what I'm trying to get
Okay? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right.
I apologize.
All right. If we Joe Rogan eclipsed Rush Limbaugh with that Malone interview in numbers. Okay.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So my point is this. Joe Rogan is a truth seeker. He's looking for it. What do you think if we get this message on Joe Rogan? How many people do you think are going to be interested? How many people do you think will file an affidavit with the Secretary of State? Believe me, we can get to some of these big platforms, and all of a sudden they get flooded with 10, 15 million of people going, we know what you're doing, and you don't have any authority over us anymore. You think they're going to come out and start this mass wholesale crap you're talking about? No.
You got a point there, but I don't see Americans waking up for some reason. Excuse me for being a pessimist, but
I'm not saying. You know, that's the last conversation I had with John Stadtmiller before he died. Okay, the guy whose slot we're in right here, and I followed up on when I was with him, and I was trying to say, John, the importance of this, and you know what John's comment to me was, Roger, 300 million people are not going to change status. I said, John, we don't need 300 million people. The 3% of the people in the country wanted to fight the king. Everybody else wanted to go along with King George. We just need a small, dedicated number. And we got getting people in there that are exposing themselves and changing their status and pulling themselves out of things like their tax system. These guys are going to crap. They're a paper tiger. They don't have the power you're imputing to them.
Well, I pray you're right, Roger. I really do. But
all right. Well,
I guess I'm
thank you, Chance.
We
got a couple more callers calling in, so I don't want to miss anybody today.
Okay. All right. Chance, I'll be back tomorrow night. We can discuss
this
again, okay?
Okay. Good night, fellas.
Okay. We'll see you, Chance.
Have a good night. Oh, we got Paul in California.
Paul in California? Come on. What are you still doing there, Paul?
Yeah, really.
Well, I was just thinking about this book that I have somewhere. Probably you've heard of it. It's called Identity Fraud by Thomas Marvin Maxwell. You ever heard of that?
I have not, no.
It's excellent. Yeah, he goes into the whole 14th Amendment. You may be able to find it online. It's very rare. He actually sued the state of California, among other things. He was actually quite active. I believe he left us in the early to mid-2000s, but after, you know, you're off the air, some if you want to just, you know, search term it, just Identity Fraud by Thomas Marvin Maxwell. So I got a question, and this is probably going to affect not just tens of thousands, but probably hundreds of thousands or more of people across the country, and it happened to me, and it brings to my mind the idea of a claim, okay, making a claim no matter what my my small S, citizenship or not, is the California Department of Health is supposedly requiring hospitals and assisted living facilities to be fully vaccinated and boosted and have a negative COVID test within 2 days.
Right.
Now, I'm sure you're where I don't have to tell you the California Department of Health is nothing. They don't have any inherent authority to require anything of me. And they're just, a state agency. And it actually says on the handout I was given, it says guidelines, okay? So I tried to visit my dad, and because he was actually transferred to this facility due to a little emergency. And I actually did not know this, so all hospitals apparently and all assisted living facilities are supposedly required to require you. And I mean, in my mind, I'm thinking about all kinds of violations, my rights, violations of various, state and, federal laws, fraudulent coercion, so on. I just wonder what your thoughts were.
You won't have any success with that until you change your status. If you change your status, all these laws and mandates and things they can command that you do, and they can do that because you're a piece of property for them. They got a property right in you. They're all for residents and citizens of the United States. If you're not one of those, they can make all the man-made laws from now till the cows come home, and they don't apply to you because they only apply to citizens of the United States and residents. Now, I've got a number of people in Southern California. I've got a bunch of little hot groups down there. And one of the things that we teach people to do is once you've got your status straight and the playing field leveled, you weaponize your position. Because what's going on here technically, Paul, is you've never had access to the common law before. The playing field's been slanted at 45 degrees. When you file that status statement and you're a national, now you've got access to the common law again, and the playing field is level. So at that point, you start weaponizing your position. And the way you weaponize your position is by using a legal process or a concept called due process, which I'm sure you've heard of. Due process is the basis of every body of law in the world. Due process is very easy to understand. Notice and the right to be heard. Notice and the right to be heard. So what you do is you write a little cover letter, and you first one you put on notice is the Attorney General of the state of California. And then you copy everybody in your county. The public health official, we've just added him to the list since they're concentrating on that now and weaponizing it and deputizing them. Your district attorney, your local sheriff, your local chief of police, and you may even want to put the coroner on there because he's technically the highest legal officer in the county. Okay, and you tie that to your notice that you send to the Attorney General, the head law guy in the state, and you go, please, Mr. Attorney General, you put at the top legal lawful notice, and then you put notice to the principal is notice to the agent, notice to the agent is notice to the principal, because we're dealing with the laws of agency with agents and agencies. And so what you're telling them is now they're all linked together, okay? And the cover letter says, please, Mr. Attorney General, please find my enclosed citizenship evidence now on file with the Secretary of State of the United States of America. Please adjust your records and your actions accordingly. Sincerely, hugs and kisses, Paul. Okay? And then you have everybody there at the bottom that I just named, and you send them, everybody, a copy. Now they're all linked. Now what's happened, they've been put on legal lawful notice. They only get to do these things to you because of their delegated responsibilities and duties as an agent. And if they go outside of those, like deal with somebody that isn't inside their jurisdiction, they lose their cloak of immunity, and now they become personally liable, and you can take them and sue them for everything they've got.
Now, would that include the... the owner of the firm of the
no, it wouldn't. It wouldn't, because he's not an agent. He's an owner of a firm. These guys are all agents and have delegated responsibility. And the only laws they can enforce are for residents of California. You're going to find that's the overall term is residents. Okay. Technically, you can be both, but the reason they use residents is because that catches people that are here as green card residents that aren't citizens of the United States, so now they fall under their jurisdictional nexus. If you go back to the Code of Federal Regulations in the federal level, there's 50 titles of what's called the Code of Federal Regulations, the CFR. This is the Bible of the administrative state. That was what Tom was under when he worked for him, okay? If he had a question, he went to whatever Code of Federal Regulations it was over nuclear regulatory and found his answer in there, okay? And if you go to the front page of every one of those 50 titles, 49 of the 50, their jurisdictional statement is for residents. There's only one that's got both statuses in there and both citizen of the United States and resident, and that's Title 26, IRS.
So is this something that could be done, shall we say, after the facts? In other words, I change my status, and then I mean, because at the date that this happened, I did not, it was actually last Thursday.
No, you can't be, you can't do ex post facto here. In other words, when that happened, you were still in the old status, and it applied.
Yeah.
Now, you get this paper filed, you start putting people on notice, and once it's actually when it's put in the system, okay, it's considered received, especially, well, I think either way, all right, whether you do it with a passport app or not, I'm recommending everybody do both anymore. I want to see that Secretary of State winking, blinking, and nod flooded with these damn things. I want his passport department to see him, and I want his regular administrative records department to see him without a passport application. And I want these guys to know that the public is wise to their damn slaving asses.
That's great.
Well, there's a lot there, and there's somewhere I can go. You recommend to find out about changing my status?
Yes. We've been talking about it here for weeks. Are you just getting turned on to this?
Yeah, well, no, I just tuned in today, you know.
All right. Well, the first thing you need to do is go back in the archives at RBN and go back to January the 6th, which was the initial two-hour show I did with Tom, which is one of the better presentations I've done of this material because we got all the stuff covered. Show you how the main parts work, how the moving parts interact with each other, and a bunch of stuff you're probably not familiar with. This stuff's going over your head is because you don't know that already, okay? Now, you can tune into my show. Of course, you're in California. What part of California?
The Bay Area, Northern California.
Okay, all right. I've got a stronghold down in L.A. area, but that's a little ways away from. But I'm on the air 5 days a week on Eurofolk Radio, 11 to 1 Eastern, and I gave all the contact instructions earlier. You can join us. You can ask questions. We don't have any commercial interruptions, and the reason for that is so we can get in and answer complex questions on this very confusing to most people situation and help everybody understand where you get the confidence, hopefully, to move forward and file something with the Secretary of State. He's the only guy you can file it with that makes any difference.
Secretary of State of the United States.
Pardon me?
United States, not Secretary of State of California.
No, the state Secretary of States are only like for incorporating businesses and collecting taxes or if you're getting that kind of business information. That's why you want to put the Attorney General on notice. He's the guy over all the laws in the state. And by the way, that's just starting to happen. And the Attorney General, we didn't put legal lawful notice plainly enough. We did the notice to the principal thing. And so they wrote back to my folks and said, we don't give illegal advice. Because they didn't say it was noticed properly, you know. They don't give legal advice, this and that and the other, but we really care about our private citizens.
Hey, so Paul, before you get off, Paul, it was actually January 5th. There's a two-hour show. And then the 18th and the 19th, there's two more shows. That was last week. And then you're going to have tonight and tomorrow. So maybe you go at least go and check out the 5th or the 6th. I have the 5th, but it could be the 6th. I'm not sure. Go review that and then come back tomorrow night, and we'll be doing this again, taking calls, and in case you have any questions about what you're and make sure you have a good roll of duct tape because your head's going to go boom when you read some of this stuff. And we're going to try to grab a couple more calls here before
Paul, be in touch. If you can, listen to us on the show, and we can answer your questions. And I've got other interviews I can send you and some paperwork and stuff, okay? Here, let me put this out. My email address, you got a pencil?
I'll just listen to the show.
Okay. My email address is Radio Ranch, no spaces, Radio Ranch at mail, mail.com.
Radio ranch at mail.com.
Okay. Yeah, send me an email. Say Matrix Docs in the subject matter, and I'll send you back some stuff you can study, okay?
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Nice to meet you, man. Good luck. Don't leave your car in downtown San Francisco.
And I'll expect to hear from you tomorrow, Paul.
Yeah, we're here tomorrow, Paul.
Okay.
All right.
Somebody emailed a question. Pat emailed a question. Do you send them a passport photo, and how do you prove it's you?
To Secretary of State? Well, if you got a passport, you can send them a copy of that. You can put your Social Security number in there. If you got a common name, you want to make sure they get your affidavit filed in the right administrative file. Probably a copy of your birth certificate, too, if you wanted to do all that. Now, are they talking about a passport application or just one sent cold to the administrative records department?
I guess they're... Oh, okay.
Pat.
Hello?
Oh.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I heard you before, but everybody wants to call in and tell you his whole life history and argue, so I just gave up.
please don't argue.
I don't know. Yeah, I call in with questions, and, you know, I'm the only one that's supposed to say what I said I was going to say. Anyway, I've tried to get a passport before, got the photo, but they wanted somebody who knew me to identify me because a birth certificate doesn't mean anything. Remember Obama?
Hold on, Pat. Let me explain something to you. If you're applying to a passport for the very first time, is the only time you need a birth certificate. Okay. Birth. When you do renewals, you don't need one, but they want it that first time. Okay. You can contact your state vital records department, and you can get certified copies of your birth certificate, and they require it. Okay. And you can't get around it. Not the first time. So, yes, you'll need to include that. You'll need to get a passport photo. And the very first time that you're doing one of these on a DS-11, they want you to sign it in front of an administrating official at the post office. Or if there's not one in your post office, they want you to go in front of a judge to sign it. Okay? I never heard of another federal form where that was a requirement. And the reason is because they know that this is one document where people can change their status and get out of their slave system. And that's why they've got all that stuff in there for the first time.
Okay, so what you need to take with you before that judge is you need to take the current things you have with your photo on it.
Yeah, you need a passport photo. You can get those taken at the post office. There's other private people that do that. You need a copy of your birth certificate. And then when you're applying, you're going to want to take your affidavit. And it says in the instructions, you can attach documentation, including affidavits. And all you do is put that into the stack that you're going to put in the post office to mail. Once it's in the post office, it's considered received. Okay. I'm advising that you also, pardon me?
Can you send a photocopy of your driver's license or Texas ID with your
picture on it? They don't care about that. They want a birth certificate, and they want the picture, and if you got any documentation to add, you put it in the package. They don't care about your driver's license.
That's easier than a regular passport. All right.
Well, and here you don't have to order the passport book, okay? You can just order a $30 passport card, and then you carry that as your identification, and now your passport card is linked to your freedom affidavit, and it should come up for you as a U.S. national. You can go out. I got people that drive with no tags. I got people that drive with no driver's license, no insurance, and everything else. And the cops look at it. They come back and say, have a nice day. Be careful out there. Pat, we'll be back tomorrow night. We'll call back in tomorrow night, okay?
Sorry, Dave. You'll call us back tomorrow. Everybody that was wanting to call in, please don't wait to the last minute. John used to have a fit about that, too. So stand by tomorrow night. We're going to take a whole lot of calls. Have a good night.
We won't do any first hour stuff. We'll just take calls for 2 hours tomorrow.
Thank you, Roger. Talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks, Mike.
Good night.
Night-night. It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back. We must take America back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. there. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.